evil players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Dribble the ball, kick the ball to score a goal.
He shoots, the ball, he scores, scoring the goals.
Score a goal.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the League Podcast. It's international weekend, or midweek, and the end of the weekend, and everything else, the way they split them up now. So, no championship action this week. Instead, we've got League One and League Two podcast in association with the72.co.uk. And Sam Ashu is back with us to have a look at the third and fourth tiers of English football, Sam. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because, like, you know, there's teams like, you know, there are some teams who aren't playing this weekend because they've got internationals, but you must feel a bit left behind, you reckon, if you're a League One player and you're amongst the, seven games that are left. You'd be a bit like, oh, God.
Yeah, maybe. It might be one of those where it's, maybe a little bit hard to get motivated for. I don't know, but, you know, it's still an opportunity for those teams to, you know, to reduce deficits, perhaps, and, you know, and the best thing is the Football League gets to be... Well, part of the centre of attention of the day. We've got and the official line is a non-league day, I think.
Yeah, it's, that's right.
But, you know, this is a good opportunity for League One and League Two to show the rest of the country what they're about.
And a few TV games as well. We'll start with a TV game on Friday night on Sky Sports, 7:45, Coventry against Gillingham. And it all worked out very nicely because Coventry returned to the Ricoh Arena and the Sky cameras will be there to capture it. Big crowd expected and a really celebratory night for the Sky Blues. They haven't started too badly so far. In fact, they left the former home without being beaten in a couple. In fact, they haven't been beaten in the league. This season, they beat Sheffield United and they drew 2-2 with Barnsley. Their other results so far in League One this season have seen an away defeat to Bradford, a 0-0 draw with Milton Keynes and a 1-1 draw with Swindon. So no trees have been pulled up, but no disaster either. And you could probably say the same for Gillingham as well, really. They beat Crewe last time out, but so they should. Everyone's pretty much beating Crewe. Lost 4-1 at Barnsley. 2-2 draw with Swindon, a 2-0 win over Yeovil and a 4-2 defeat at Milton Keynes. It's been a real mixed bag for Gillingham so far. What do you think? I mean, is it think it's safe to bet on the kind of the celebration factor at Coventry? Would that go into your the mixing pot of how you approach this game, Sam?
It has to, Lee. It has to. I know on both on In Play Radio and the podcast that we do, we when we put up a bet, we like to, you know, back it up with stats, obviously. But I just think in this case, Coventry, back at the Ricoh, 20-odd thousand expected. Friday night, so there's going to be an atmosphere for more reasons than one. Sky cameras there. It's all set up for Coventry's night. I think it's just one of those where they're playing against the Gillingham side who are... And I've said this before, they are a bit of a mixed bag. They've scored around about 9 goals, conceded 10 goals, got off to an okay start in the first half against MK Dons, played really well, and then MK came back at them. All the performances have been there so far under Peter Taylor. It's just a case of conceding goals in the back and getting the results out. If this was another day at the office, if this was a Saturday at Sixfields, I might be tempted to pump for the Gillingham win or something like the draw no bet. But I feel that it really is all set up for Coventry on this Friday. They've had a tough start. I mean, they had Bradford away. They've had Cardiff in the Cup. They beat Sheffield United, as we know. They've had Barnsley too. And, yeah, I mean, like you say, they've not particularly pulled up any trees, but, you know, they've got an excellent manager in Stephen Presley. And, you know, they've lost a couple of their best players from last season, Callum Wilson, Leon Clark, Carl Baker as well, the club captain, for whatever reason that he's left. Goal scorers as well, all three of those. So, it has been difficult for Coventry in more ways than one this campaign. But I think tonight is the night where they set their stall out in front of a bumper crowd. And unfortunately, I think Gillingham are going to be the victims of, a bit of a Sky Blue free-for-all, perhaps.
Yeah, 5-6 Coventry to win the match. The draw's 13-5. Gillingham 100-30. Yeah, would you take them just plain old Coventry on the outrights at 5-6?
Possibly. I just think it's one of those where I fancy a Coventry win to nil, something right. like that. Mm. I mean, if I was predicting the score, I don't like to put up too many correct scoring ones because I just think it's so hard to predict an actual scoreline. But I think Coventry to win to nil, 11-5, the last time, certainly the last time I checked, and Coventry 2-0. I mean, I don't tend to put up correct scores, but I've got this feeling that we're going to see an early goal from Cov, and then you think they're going to run riot, perhaps don't, and then see it out in the second half. So perhaps a 2-0, something like that.
10-1 for 2-0. Yeah. And the win to nil, it may have just been clipped in a tiny, tiny bit. It's 21-10, which it doesn't make an awful lot of difference from 11-5, but just a tiny bit shorter. But yeah, I can see that. And Gillingham will probably go away with the celebrations ringing in the ears. I can see why you'd go for that. Bradford versus Yeovil next up. Bradford fifth in the League One table with 10 points so far. Yeovil half as many points and down in 19th in League One. The price is 23-20 for the Yorkshireman, 23-10 the draw, and Yeovil are priced up at 12-5. As for the League One form so far, they lost the first two, Yeovil, and haven't been beaten since, and both teams have scored in each of the last three games they've played in. As for Bradford, they got beaten in the Johnson's Paint Trophy in the week, but the form in the league has been pretty good, hence why they're fifth. Just one defeat, and that was to Peterborough at home, which is a bit of a surprise, I suppose, really, that they didn't score as much as anything else. But going along quite nicely here, Sam, aren't they, Bradford?
Mm. Well, this is one of your value bets of the weekend for me. Bradford City, it's really good start to the season. Fifth in the league at the moment. They're looking like a good side. They've put in some excellent performances already. Certainly in the matches that they've won, they've been really good value for those victories. Got a strong squad, consolidated last year. That's what they're aiming for, really. Maybe a playoff push at best, but certainly they were happy to sort of end up in and around just below mid-table. And they've started really well, whereas on the other hand, we've got a Yeovil side now who are, well, going through quite a few problems, really. It was reported that Gary Johnson turned up late to the Johnson's Paint Trophy match against Portsmouth at Hewish Park on Tuesday night. I mean, judging by what a few of the fans were saying who were sitting in and around the dugouts, Gary Johnson is a man who tends to dictate the team himself as opposed to letting coaches do it for him. Whereas on Tuesday night, he was sat in his dugout pretty much for the whole match, and his coaches were doing the shouting from the touchline for him. So he turned up late to that one. It doesn't sound great. And after the match, I mean, this is what he said. He said, I'm having a quiet and reflective period after a hectic transfer evening. The chairman is on holiday and I'm waiting for him to return to speak to him about how we proceed. Now, John Fry, the chairman, isn't back till Monday. So, you know, things won't have been, well, you know, sorted, for want of a better word, until after the weekend. Now, they're playing a Bradford side of flying fairly high. We'll certainly be pushing for the playoffs this season. For me, only Peterborough, Bristol City, Preston, MK and possibly Sheffield United are a better side than Bradford, and maybe that's even doing them a disservice. So they've got to be aiming for the playoffs against a very depleted Yeovil side who are, by all accounts, outplayed by Portsmouth on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Great insight, those comments. It does give you a real feel for the club. Which way are you going then?
As I said, I think the Bradford at 23-20.
You probably don't need to go any further than that, do you, really?
You don't,
it's one of those prices where you just think, well, I can delve deeper, I can do this, I can do that, but it's odds against, isn't it?
First of all, you look at the league table and you say, Bradford City are fifth.
Yeah.
Yeovil are 19th. Mm. That alone should tell you, should give you an idea of the prices. Bradford are at home, Yeovil away. bit of it. I mean, there's a fair distance as well. I know Yeovil, you know, have to travel quite long distances in a fair few of their matches. But if you look at the distance between Devon and Yorkshire, or Somerset and Yorkshire, it's certainly away. So Bradford at 23-20. You can't look too far past James Hansen as well. He's scored four times already this season, and I think odds against is you know, a fair price. So 6-4 any time for him might be worth a look, because it just seems that through every attack that Bradford do, which is particularly on the wings with Alan Sheehan and Stephen Darby bombing up from left wing back and right wing back respectively. Yeah, they're really playing through Hansen this year, so you know, you wouldn't be surprised to see him score again. So 6-5 isn't bad, but 23-20, that's a hell of a price. I'm surprised they're not odds on. I really am.
Does look nice, that one. Bristol City versus Scunthorpe is the final game that we'll have a look at in League One. Bristol City are priced up at 5-6. The draw is 12-5, and Scunny a 7-2. Ashton Gate then. Bristol City flying high in third position. Lost to Oxford in the League Cup, but beat Colchester and drew 0-0 with Leighton Orient. Scunthorpe, they're in 21st position after their five games. Probably be a little bit worried about that. Beat Chesterfield in the Johnston's Paint Trophy in the week with goals from McSheffrey and McAllister. They had beaten Walsall at home as well with another goal from McSheffrey before that. That was a third home game on the trot, the midweek one, and they'd lost to Reading before that. Also lost to Fleetwood. It's interesting that, you know, so far, you know, they lost to Preston in the Cup, didn't they? And I think they played Blackburn in the League Cup as well. It's again another mixed bag, really. You're never quite sure what you're going to get with Scunny. It's beating Blackburn away from home was a surprise.
Well, they were a really strange side last year, because they went on that incredible unbeaten run, but so many of them were draws. I'm sure they had the bulk of, if not the most draws in that division, yet, you know, still went up through the automatic. I think they're getting found out a little bit at the moment. Maybe that's down to the fact that they've got a young squad. Players such as Paddy Madden, he's proven himself already in the Football League, but he's still fairly young. Billy Keyes, obviously young as well, and they're bringing a few other players in, like the 18-year-old, excuse my pronunciation, but Hakib Adilakun, who scored a wonderful goal in their win against Walsall the other day. He coaxed through about five players, outpacing them all, and a brilliant finish to boot as well. So they are bringing, Russ Wilcox is bringing young players in, there's no doubt about that. They'll just be looking to stay up in League One this season, and then perhaps with the young players, might go for a playoff push next year. I don't think they'll go down. But like you say, bit of a mixed bag. And then we compare that with Bristol City, who have certainly got one of the best squads in the division. Decent start to the season for them. Players such as Aaron Wilbraham, I mean, he's scored in every Bristol City win so far. He's scored, so a real focal point up front. I think he's around 34 years old or something. So certainly a bit of a surprise for me to see him be a consistent starter, actually, and be a consistent goal scorer. So he's doing really well. And then, of course, they've signed Kieran Agard from Rotherham as well. They're now playing in a sort of front two with Luke Freeman just behind. So it's an excellent front three for that level. Head-to-head, Bristol City have won 8 of the last 12 against Scunny. And since these two teams have been playing, I don't think Bristol City have been in a much of a stronger position, since that last 12 matches or so. So, three of the last 6 wins have been to 2-0 as well for Bristol City. So fairly sort of standard results. It's hard to look past Bristol City for another win today. We're looking at Saturday, aren't we? But I fancy Bristol City here, Lee. I really do.
Yeah, I can see why. I don't know. Your nap's coming in League One, isn't it? Mine is as well. And Pete, although there's no championship, we thought it only fair to give him a chance of doing his nap as well. And he's picked a game in League One. Shall I give Pete's first? His nap for the weekend, and Pete is actually on plus 47-42 after landing his Millwall to win at 5-6 last weekend. He's going for Bristol City to win and both teams to score. Ooh. At 3-1.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I thought he was going to repeat the bet that I actually had written down. It's not my nap, but I didn't mention it, but I was going to go for the Bristol City win and Aaron Wilbraham anytime at 6-4, just because I think if they do win, which I think they will, I think Wilbraham will score. So
it's pretty big price, isn't it? I mean, it's going to need to score, and Bristol City win. It's not a bad price, 3-1.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. Actually.
You landed as well, Sam, for the first time last week in our naps table. Well, not the first bet you've landed, the first nap. do you know what you're on now? The princely sum of plus £1.
Oh, well.
That's good. You're in the black.
Every little helps.
That's in the black. I am now minus 30. Which is hurt me.
I'll tell you what, Lee.
I did land a nap on our Premier League podcast, but I'm still yet to land a nap on the league podcast, which is troubling me.
I tell you what, I had to wait for it. It came in the 90th minute.
It
was Kobe Arse who stepped up to break the hearts of the Hartlepool fans. So it came a little bit longer than what I expected. But I mean, going back to that price. For Cheltenham to be odds against.
It was good. What are you going for this week then, Sam?
I can't. I've got to go for Bradford.
Yeah, I thought you would.
The 23-20 price is huge. I think it's an excellent, excellent price. And as simple as the bet is, I think it's certainly worth a look.
Yeah, no, I can see why you've gone for that. I'm going in League One as well, but I'd forgive you for not listening to any of the next 30 seconds. Walsall versus Colchester, both teams to score is my bet. These two are languishing near the bottom of League One. Colchester have scored away from home in both the games so far, losing 2-1 at Bristol City, obviously playing well, and 2-1 at Notts County, who are in the top half of the table. Don't have, you know, against Bristol City, I was looking at the stats, they had 9 shots on goal. Against Notts County, they had 22 shots on goal. Only scored 1, but obviously having a right go at it. Walsall lost 2-1 to Yeovil, which, you know, obviously is not the greatest result in the world. Drew 0-0 with Bradford, so it's only a half of their games that they managed to score. But my eyes are drawn to the last game of last season that Walsall had at home was a 1-0 defeat to Colchester. When you look at the game again, you know, the amount of shots that Walsall had in that match, they had 17 shots on goal and didn't manage to score. So I'm trusting them to get a goal this time. It's 10-11 for both teams to score, and I'm hopeful this week of the manager. I prefer that than Walsall at 10-11 to win the game, put it that way. So it's 10-11 for mine, 23-20 for Sam's, which is a very nice price on Bradford. And Pete's going for a big old price, really, in terms of a nap. 3-1 for Bristol City to win the game, but both teams to score. A tenner on that treble would earn you the princely sum of £164.18.
Right,
hopefully, I don't let it down this week.
Buying money, isn't it, Lee?
Well,
money.
I wouldn't say that. Sam, thanks for your time.
Not a problem.
Sam Ashu, make sure you check out the League 2 version of the League podcast as well. That and this, both available at the72.co.uk, where you also find loads of match previews, some betting previews on there as well, plus all the rest of the other stuff that they have on the site. Whatever your team is in the Football League, there's a section for you on there. Also, download the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's on audioboo.fm. And you can subscribe via iTunes, and you get all our football podcasts delivered to your phone, to your tablet, or to your PC. Whatever you're having a bet on in League One, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.